Greetings, and welcome to the ICL Analyst Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to our host, Ms. Limor Gruber, Head of IR for ICL. Thank you. You may begin.
Hello, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. We've just announced a significant alliance with China's Yunnan Yuntianhua, and we are really happy to share with you some more information, and of course, we'll be ready for all of your questions after the presentation. And now I will let Stefan Borgas, our President and CEO, start. Please, Stefan.
Thanks, Limor. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We provided a press release which explains what we did. As part of the immediate announcement that we filed at the stock market, there's also a presentation slide attached to this. I trust that you all have them, or you're able to dial into the WebEx. However, I will go through the presentation and refer to the different slides. If you can't follow the WebEx, you can at least follow the slides. Hopefully, you can have them in front of you. I want to talk about the strategic background, why we're doing this. I want to give you some details about the deals itself, and then I will summarize with the benefits of the deal. At the end, I will explain a little bit of who is our partner for those who are not so familiar with it. As you know, ICL operates a successful but relatively small phosphate business, which strategy it is to have a specialty phosphate business focused on specialty agriculture, on food ingredients, and on engineered materials. 75% of our phosphate business goes into these three end markets. The competitiveness comes through a backward integration into phosphate rock, right now only in Israel. This is the strength of the business. The market only is forward integrated into specialties about 25%. So ICL is a different nature of its business. The weakness of our business is that because of the backward integration into Israel alone, we have never been able to competitively build this specialty business, neither in Asia nor in Latin America. And this is what we're fixing with this alliance. So if you turn to slide three of the forward integrated specialty, about 25%. If you follow onto slide three of the presentation, you can see the substance of the alliance with the Yunnan Yuntianhua. ICL will invest up to $500 million into two items. The first one is a world-scale phosphate mine together with a major with an integrated production platform in China. This is an operation that Yunnan Yuntianhua already has. We are buying 50% of that part of their business. It's a portion of their company. We're creating a joint venture, 50-50 joint venture here. ICL is spending $183 million. And the second part of this deal is we're buying 15% of Yunnan Yuntianhua corporate shares, and we become the largest shareholder of this company after the Chinese government. Yunnan Yuntianhua, I will show a little bit later, is one of the leading phosphate producers in the world, one of the top three or four in the world. So we're buying these shares and become a long-term shareholder. The rationale of this for us, you can see on the slide in the blue boxes, we're expanding our specialty phosphate platform into the Asian markets. The transaction will more or less double our global phosphate market share. We are buying this mine plus operating platform in order to turn it from a commodity business to a specialty business. In order to be able to do this successfully, we're securing 30-year access to rock, phosphate rock in China, and because of the focus of turning this into a specialty business, we have significant expansion and synergy potential. Let me turn to slide 4. This slide shows the overview of the transaction. The joint venture is going to be a fully integrated phosphate business. It's like ICL2. It's basically what we have between Israel and Europe. We have the forward integration mostly in Europe and the backward integration mostly in Israel. Here it will all be in one platform. It's a 50-50 joint venture. ICL will appoint in this joint venture the chairman, the CEO, the COO, and the commercial head. Because the chairman has two votes on the board, ICL will also have the majority of the shares on the board. This joint venture will be fully integrated into ICL. It will also be fully consolidated into ICL. Then, as a second part of this deal, we're buying 15% stake in Yulian Yinchinhua. We will have two board members of this public company. It's listed in Shanghai. There will be an operating committee, a phosphate committee, that will report to the board, that will consist out of four of these board members, and it will focus on improving the quality of this company in terms of operating performance, in terms of cost, and in terms of market view. We're trying to be an activist shareholder, working very, very closely together with the management of this company in order to improve it. The transaction is, we will merge the operating joint venture into ICL business units, into our food business, into our engineered materials business, into our specialty business, and into our agriculture business. The transaction is expected to close in the first quarter of 2016. This is a relatively long approval process. It just simply has to do with the Chinese regulation and with many authorities and government bodies that have to approve this. Therefore, the valuation that we just talked about, the numbers that we talked about, have to be taken with a grain of salt because also they are subject to approval of the Chinese government. On the right side of this slide, you can see the scale of this. This is truly a world-scale operation. It's a little bit bigger than ICL's existing operation, but of course it still lacks the specialty forward integration. On the next slide, number 5, you can see the financial highlights. The joint venture has sales of $550 million initially, approximately, and we will grow it by up to $700 million within 4 to 5 years. Major tool of growth is the conversion of commodities into specialties. Right now, this operation sells about 10% of their products into specialty markets. We want to grow this to 50%. We have given strong commitments to do this as well. As part of this, the EBITDA margin of this business will grow from the low teens to the high teens within 5 years. The consideration reflects a valuation of about 7.4 times EV to EBITDA. This is the year two estimate, and year one, of course, is difficult to estimate because we have a lot of closure costs and integration costs, one-time costs in the first year. The deal is going to be cash EPS accretive from the first full year of its operation. The synergies are at least at $30 million per year. It takes a few years to achieve this, of course. But the potential of the synergies is much higher than this. We have been careful on the synergy number. This is $30 million EBITDA, of course. We have been careful on the synergy number because our operating experience in China, at least on that scale, is not yet at the level where we wanted to put all of the numbers on the table now. We will invest about $170 million over 4 years in these specialty plants. This will all be funded out of the cash flow of the existing operation. Let me just spend a few minutes on explaining to you who is Yunnan Yinchenhua. Yunnan Yinchenhua is one of the largest phosphate producers in the world, with about $9 billion in annual revenues. They are China's second largest chemical manufacturer. They are phosphate and agricultural company, as you can see in the revenue split. They have very systematically, over the course of the last 2 to 3 years, divested their non-phosphate and non-agricultural activities. They have a relatively respectable trading arm as well. So this is trading into the agricultural market, so it fits quite well as well. And the profitability mostly comes from the phosphate business. On the next slide, you can see their geographic location. The mine and our plant, our joint venture plant, is in the Yunnan province near Kunming, the capital of the Yunnan province. And it is positioned in a location where it has very, very advantageous logistics to the southern China, to the southern Asia market, and to northwest China as well. The competitiveness to the northeast in China is more limited because of the costly logistics. So the focus will be on southern China, on the northwest of China, on Southeast Asia, and on India as well, where competitiveness also is very, very high. We will be able to strengthen this position, especially in the south of China and in Southeast Asia, because of all of the infrastructure that's being built in this region right now under the leadership of the new Chinese government. I'm sure that many of you have heard about the so-called New Silk Road, which is a massive infrastructure project in exactly this region, mostly in railroads. The strategic rationale of this deal should have become obvious for you, but here on slide 8, we can summarize it one more time for you. We expand our successful phosphate business model into the largest region of the world by converting commodities into specialties over time. This is our focus. In order to do this, we need a competitive backward integration. This is one of the largest and lowest cost rock sources in the world. Yinchenhua has more than 600 million tons of rock reserves, from which, of course, we profit, a piece of it from which we profit. It's part of the mine that we operate. Gives us more than 30 years of operating time here. We are expanding our end market reach in to fulfill the essential needs in the Chinese market and in the Asian markets, where especially the push into specialties is just starting now. And we're leveraging the expertise between both companies, the mining and rock exploration and commodity production expertise of Yunnan Yinchenhua, and ICL's expertise, which is more on the technology side, specialty side, and on the marketing and sales side as well. So this is very complementary, and it should create very good long-term life together. The transaction is financially solid, as you can see, but on slide 9, as I have shown, but on slide 9, you can also see that the transaction has other very clear benefits. We secure cost-competitive rock resources. Some of this, by the way, is a backup for certain products that we're making in Israel, should we ever lose our integration in Israel. But this is just really a backup. We are now able to build a competitive position into the attractive markets in Asia. We double our global phosphate market share. We will be a new major player in China on the specialty side and in Southeast Asia as well, not only in agriculture but also in food ingredients and engineering materials. We will expand this operation because we have very significant synergy potential on the technology and cost side in production, but more even on the market side by putting all the ICL products into this company. The support for other businesses, for all of the businesses in ICL is also here. We could theoretically sell all of our potash to our new partner because their demand is their total demand is approximately at the same level than the demand that all of our customers combined have. So this is a kind of a supply guarantee into the market for our potash franchise, just to give you one of the synergies. On slide 10, on slide 10 you can see the cost chart. Clearly, Yinchanhua is one of the largest and most cost competitive players. If we calculate the cost into these target markets, Northeast China, South China, Southeast Asia and India, we are really on the left side of the cost curve now, all the way from commodities to specialties. In terms of the growth, you can see the growth numbers, market growth numbers on slide 11. China has been the growth driver in the phosphate market over the last decade. If we add now India and Southeast Asia to this, this will continue. So IPL now is linked into these growth markets. On slide 12, you can see the capability expansion for ICL. If you look, the blue bars represent the ICL capacities the way we have them today, and the orange bars on this slide is the capacity that we will get now through this transaction. You can see that on the rock side, more or less we double our reserves. More importantly, we double our capacity, but more importantly, we extend our reserves very, very, very significantly. The fertilizer step up is relatively small because of the low downstream operation, but you can see that the phosphoric acid capacity more than doubled, and this, of course, gives us the tool in order to go into the specialty market without huge additional capex that we need to have here. Last but not least, to summarize, we have a clear roadmap to deliver value. The synergies are very, very well identified. We prepared this project with our Chinese partner for over a year, more than a year and a half of very intensive discussion and very detailed planning, so we're quite comfortable that these synergies that you see listed here on slide 13, we can execute. As I said before, more than $30 million specifically identified, and double this quantity from additional potential that we already have and that we are already working on. So by the time this deal closes and we get all the approvals, hopefully we can already give you an update that maybe there's more in there than is possible. With this, I'm very happy to go into questions and answers. We are very, very excited about this transaction. We have great collaboration with our Chinese partners. We have broad relationships with them. We have been working with them in the food area already for 10 years. They have been our joint venture partners many, many years, so we know them for a long time, and we have very good feeling about making this work. Just only the official approvals are in between us, both of us, and making this happen. Any of your questions, please feel free to start now.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star key. Our first question comes from the line of Joseph Wolf with Barclays. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, thank you. Sounds like a very large move, and so I'm going to ask a question, but I hope I don't ramble and combine many things at one time. When you look at this business and the ongoing Israel business, and you kind of touched on this, and you talk about synergies, are the synergies a global number, or is that a synergy? What does that synergy mean? And what does this say about the overall phosphate business? Are you going to operate them globally as the current business serving the Western world and the new business serving the Eastern world?
Okay, so the synergy...
And then what happens to the overall... And then I guess just what happens to overall profitability? If we look at the way you report the phosphate business, there's the fertilizer business and there's performance products. Where will this 50-50 consolidation run through the income statement?
Okay, so there's three different questions. First of all, the synergies that we reported are strictly on the Chinese operation. It doesn't include any significant synergies outside of China for our existing platform. There are such synergies, but they go beyond these 30 million that I named. Second, the operating model. We have two alternatives, and it really depends on what the future will be in our Israeli side. In the short term, and our preferred model is that we will operate our business units as global businesses. So in our minds, we will have a global phosphate operation, which will be led from Rotem in Israel, where we have the leadership of this business unit. They will have two production sites now, or actually they have a third one in Brazil as well, because the Brazilian deal just closed. For white phosphoric acid, so they will operate the plant and optimize logistics-wise and also capex-wise between the three sites, or let's say two and a half sites, between Israel and China. And this will quite significantly improve the day-to-day flexibility of logistics and of operation, but it will also give technical synergies because it's the same technologies. And it will also give us capex synergies because we can expand in those areas where the capex is the lowest. Debottlenecking is always cheaper than new construction, as an example. And with a larger size, you have much more flexibility. Second, our food business, which is in the downstream, also will be an operating global food business led out of Ladenburg, Germany. They will just add this Asia footprint now to their operation. We've already started to build food laboratories and we've added commercial staff in China and in Asia over the course of the last 12 months. This will move into this joint venture, but be operated as a business unit from Germany. Same is true for specialty fertilizers, where the headquarters is in Holland, and for industrial engineered materials business, where the headquarters is in the U.S. So we will completely integrate this joint venture into our business unit and operate it that way. From a reporting perspective, most likely it will also be that way. We will take this joint venture, we will fully integrate it into ICL, we will implement ICL SAP systems there, and we will then, from a management reporting, allocate this JV to the different business units that are just named, the four business units that are just named. Most of the profitability will be in the fertilizer segment simply because there's the bulk of the backward integration and of the value creation effect. So in terms of mass, the biggest amounts will be there. Does this help?
Yes, that's very helpful. Just one follow-up. You've gone through what's in it for ICL. What's in it for for your partner?
Well, it's very simple. What's in it for our partner? Without ICL, they would not be able to access the specialty markets. They are almost exclusively concentrated on DAP and MAP. If you look at the profitability of Yunnan Yunchenhua, the overall profit of this company is relatively, or let's say unsatisfactory, like their chairman said this morning to us. They're looking at ICL to bring a very large specialty arm. We will basically become their specialty division, if you like. And with this, they're going to be able to optimize the entire operation, the entire process. That's going to be the role. They will continue to be the commodity marketeers and producers, and we will be the specialty guys. And that's why this collaboration works so well, because there's relatively little conflict, at least from today's perspective.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you. Next question?
Our next question comes from the line of Gilad Alper with Excellence. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. I was just wondering, when you chose to invest in a phosphate business in China, were you thinking that it's possible that in Israel you won't be allowed to develop the Barir Field Reserve, and this is basically kind of an insurance against losing your phosphate business in Israel? That's one part of the question. The second is, you're talking about financing this entire transaction from your internal resources. Does that mean you're going to have to pay less dividends over the next year or couple of years? And the last question, just based on the experience in Israel over the last year or couple of years, what is the tax regime and royalties regime that you're going to have to face in China? And what are the chances that you're going to have a nasty surprise over there over the next couple of years, like the one you had in Israel? Thanks.
Okay. So this is not an act against the Israeli regulator. For sure not. This is, to the majority, driven by the access to the Asian market. This is the strategic move. It is true, however, that at least a portion of this operation, it's true that this platform would be able to replace a portion of our business in Rotterdam should it ever be endangered. As a result, of course, we hope that in Israel we will get into a positive discussion around phosphate reserves in the Barir field. This, by the way, has already started in the last few weeks. The environment here is starting to become more constructive. So in our base case assumption, we assume that the mining extension in Israel will be granted sometimes over the next foreseeable period. But this presents somewhat of an insurance for at least a piece of the operation. Third, the financing of this does not endanger our dividend policy, of course. As you might remember, we are also divesting quite a large amount, or quite a significant number of non-core businesses. If you look at our communication in recent weeks, we have announced that non-core businesses will give us cash between $300 to $500 million. We've also said it's probably closer to $500 than to $300 million. So you can see it actually works quite well. We divest non-core business in favor of core businesses, so it doesn't. This transaction doesn't even dramatically deteriorate or increase our debt numbers. Third, the tax and the royalty regime in China seems to be much more stable from today's perspective, but I'd like to ask our head of corporate development, Chen Israel, who has negotiated the deal, to give his view on what is the tax and royalty regime. Chedi?
So from corporate tax, the current corporate tax will be 15%. This is our expectation. The
15.15?
Yes. Yes. So the expected for the corporate tax will be at the level of 15%, 15%. This is the level that they have today. With respect to the tax on dividend, I will give it to you in a minute. Just need to check that.
Withholding tax, basically, it's not necessarily this dividend not necessarily came to Israel, but withholding tax in China is between 5 to 10%.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, next question, please.
Thank you. Once again, it is star one to ask a question at this time. We'll pause a moment to allow for any other questions to come in. Our next question comes from the line of Andrew Benson with Citi. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, hi. Thanks very much for organizing the call as well. Couple of points. Yunnan, you've indicated on slide 6 that it's got 600 million tons of phosphate reserves, but now this joint venture basically takes ownership of 100 million tons of those 600 million tons, is that right? You talk about the business focused on DAP and MAP, and yet when you, on slide 4, highlight the capacities, production capacities that you're acquiring, you say specialty fertilizers, though you don't, you know, I'd be surprised if DAP and MAP fits into that definition. There's no reference to those two. So can you just clarify what it is exactly that you've bought here?
Okay, so what we are buying here is a mine. You're right about 100 million tons of reserves, a little bit more, and a commodity downstream operation, which today mostly sells DAP and MAP. There are some specialty phosphate and specialty fertilizer operations already there. They're not fully utilized. And let me say the quality of product that comes out doesn't suffice to what the markets require. So what we will be doing, we will be converting this commodity platform into a specialty platform, which means we invest into applications development, into downstream plants, which usually are not hundreds of millions of dollars of CapEx, but tens of millions of dollars of CapEx. I indicated that CapEx in the next 4 years will be $170 million in this joint venture. This is all for making the commodity, or turning the commodity platform into a specialty platform. As I said before, our target is to move the specialty share of the total sales from 10% to 50% within 5 years.
Yeah, I didn't quite, because you, I just want to explain, so the 850,000 tons of commodity production, that's DAP and MAP that you're buying, and the idea is to use more of the phosphoric acid production to make less of that MAP and DAP and more of the bottom three. Is that right?
Exactly right. We want to take the existing phosphoric acid, make less and less DAP and MAP, and make more and more white phosphoric acid and coated fertilizers and food specialties and industrial specialties and so on and so forth.
Oh, I see. Are there any sort of summary financials, historic financials that you've published on this or that you can make available?
Well, on slide 5, I think we gave you the headline. Sales, from the IPR perspective, of course, sales between $550 to $700 million, moving from $550 to $700 million. Margins from moving from low teens to high teens, EBITDA margins, and then at CapEx spent about 170 million over 4 years.
Okay.
This is the cornerstone. We're basically taking a production asset from Yunnan, and we're converting this production asset into a fully operating company. That's why there are no public financial data on this company, of course, because it's a mine in the plant. We're carving it out of this corporation, and we're making it a standalone company or a company that will be integrated into ICL.
Oh, I see. Okay, brilliant. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Joseph Wolf with Barclays. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, just a quick follow-up. You mentioned the potash consumption from this customer in JV. Can you just go through a little bit more detail about the potential there and what your plans are in terms of using that potential?
Well, we look at it more as an insurance should there ever be a market constraints, because we don't have an awful lot of more potash to sell at this moment in time, so we didn't put any synergies in here. But Jinan Tianhua uses about 1 million tons of potash today in their downstream operation and as traded material. ICL sells about 1.2 million, between 1 and 1.3 million, depends on the year. So more or less, this is the same quantity. Should ever something happen with the distribution structure in China, or should we see the need to sell more, we would have additional upside potential here, just from an access to the market perspective, not so much from a pricing perspective, but from a volume perspective, if we wanted to. We don't intend to use that in the short term.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sophie Jardin with Libium. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, thank you very much. Just two questions, quite simple ones, I think. First of all, in just a clarification, really, you've said you're investing up to $500 million. Dollars, and that $269 million of that is for the 15% of equity in Yunnan. I can't pronounce its second name. But the remaining $230 odd million, is that all of that for the 50% ownership in the JV, or is that including the $170 million capex you're saying you will invest into that? That's the first question, just a clarification of what that $500 million actually is. And second, you're talking about the acquisition closing in the first quarter of 2016. I just wondered whether you could take me through the various hurdles that need to be cleared. Why it's such a long period. I mean, you say you've been speaking to them already for a year and a half, so just to understand the length of time before completion. Thanks.
Yes. So what we said is we will invest up to $500 million. The specific amount are $269 million into the listed company in order to acquire this 15% share, and $183 million for the 50% share of the joint venture. The rest is kind of a buffer amount, which we don't know whether we need it, because the final valuation has to be done by the Chinese government. These amounts are the two amounts that that we negotiated with our partners, that they and us agreed to, but we need government approval, so we never know what government will say. And if there's additional value, we can make the decision. If we just, exactly. There's debt we take over as a piece of this. So you know, closing happens in 18 months from now. Who knows where, or 15 months or 12 months from now? Who knows where inventories will be and so on. So we just didn't want to put a final concrete number specific to the dollar. But the two amounts are $269 and $183. What happens until the closing? Well, this is the approval of the different government entities that are involved in this. First, there's the Yunnan provincial government authorities that need to approve this, the state-owned asset administration, the development and reform committee of the National Development and Reform Commission. Then there is and then the Commerce Authority of the Yunnan province, and then it needs to go to Beijing, and there it needs to be approved by the Anti-Monopoly Bureau in Beijing and also by the Minister of Commerce. And because it's a two-tier approval, that's the reason why it takes that long. We believe that the transfer of the mining rights to the joint venture is actually going to be the most, the longest time frame here, because this has never happened in China. We're coming at a good time because the Chinese government is in a heavy spur of deregulation at the moment, so this works actually very much in our favor. We've received very good, let's say, preliminary comments from many government authorities, but it has never been done before, so we were just careful on the timeline.
Okay. Thank you very much. Really helpful.
In the immediate report, we are writing that the approval will take between 6 and 18 months, and I think this documents a little bit what the spread is here. If it goes really, really very well and very fast, it could be done in 6 months. We don't think it's likely. That's why we're diving more to the first quarter of 2016.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, there are no further questions. I'd like to turn the floor back over to Ms. Gruber for any closing and final remarks.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us this afternoon. Of course, if you have any further questions, we will be happy to answer. We are very available. And have a good day.
Thank you. This concludes today's teleconference. You may disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.